Friends, I would like you, please, let's turn to God's word. And let's turn to Nehemiah, reading from chapter 1, verse 1. Now, if you need help finding Nehemiah, that's absolutely fine. It's after Chronicles and Ezra, but it's before Psalms. So try doing that, and I'm sure you'll get to it that way. So Nehemiah, reading from chapter 1. Just to give a bit of background here, the people of Israel and Judah have sinned, and as God said that if they turn away from him, he would lead them into exile. There would be nations that would rise up against them, take them out of their land, and would place them in a land they do not know. And that is exactly what happened in around 650 BC. That the people were taken out of Jerusalem, the city was destroyed, all the major towns were destroyed, the people were led out into exile. Nehemiah is one of the people that has, this is about 120 or so years after the initial exile. And so he knows of these things already. He knows about the history. He knows what God had promised and what has happened. And so let us read, friends, what is written in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of the brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost part of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was a cupbearer to the king. And then chapter 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence, and the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing as you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Before we read further into this text, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this reading that we have just read from Nehemiah. Lord, with our prayers, may your heart, may your ears be opened to our prayers. May your eyes be opened to what is happening in the nations. Lord, hear us and answer us, your faithful servants. We pray this in your name. Amen. Today's word can be titled, From Prayer to Providence. From Prayer to Providence. Now, as I mentioned, Nehemiah would already have known about the situation regarding Judah and Jerusalem. It would have been no new news to him when Hanani, one of the brothers, came to him and informed him regarding what had happened and what is currently the state in Jerusalem. The walls of Jerusalem had been broken down for some time, for almost over 100 years by this point. It was true that by around this point, Ezra had already started rebuilding the temple, but the walls themselves had not been rebuilt. This was not news to him. This was something that would have been known. And yet, when he heard this news, suddenly his heart is moved. Friends, there might be times in our lives where we already know the news. We already know a situation. It might be something that is within living memory, the situations around the world. Maybe there is something in our own life that has been for the whole of our life. There has been a particular situation, a particular circumstance. And yet, maybe when we are reminded of those circumstances, of our situation, suddenly our heart is moved once more. And maybe, like Nehemiah, we are moved to a time of fasting and praying. It might seem ordinary, even, the things that we know of the world, and yet we can be moved back into a situation of prayer. For Nehemiah, this wasn't just simple praying. This was weeping and mourning for many days, fasting in order that he would pray and have his face set toward God. Again, it might be that there is a call once more for us to maybe have a time of weeping, maybe forgetting the stiff upper lip that is expected of us, perhaps, and the burying down of our emotions. Maybe there is a time, even right now, for a time of weeping and mourning for our circumstances, for our situation, for the things that we see in the world. Maybe there is a time and a call for fasting, for us to seek God's face. Notice that one of the things that Nehemiah does repeatedly throughout this passage is refer to God as the God of heaven. There were many gods that were around Nehemiah at this time. There were idols and statues all over the place. And the people of Babylonia, the Persians, the Medians, they all had gods that they worshipped. And there was an expectation that the people would worship those gods. But as we know, the people of Israel were not called to follow gods made by human hands. They were to follow the one true living God. And this is why Nehemiah deliberately refers to the Lord as the God of heaven, setting him high above all circumstances, all situations. He is above all, looking upon the earth. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the fullness thereof. He sees what is happening in our world today, just as he looked upon Nehemiah and what was happening in his time. The way that Jeremiah refers to these gods and indeed we can refer to the gods of our world as well, is that they are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. I had to do a little bit of research on that, but the point is this: slugs and flies are not scared of scarecrows. The scarecrows are completely pointless to a cucumber field. And they are, the way that Jeremiah goes on about it is they have eyes but do not see, ears do not hear, noses do not smell, hands that cannot touch, feet that cannot walk. But here, when we refer to God, he has eyes that see. He has ears that hear. He has a heart that is moved to compassion. And we see the fullness of that through the person of Jesus, where Jesus, fully God and fully man, has hands that touched people, feet that walked, his eyes set toward the needs of the people, and a heart filled with compassion. Nehemiah, through his prayer, calls upon the Lord, "Look once more. Look once more upon the situation. Listen to what is happening around us. Do something, God. Do something for your glory." Maybe that has been the prayer that has been on your heart for some time. Maybe it is a prayer that you will be moved to over the coming days, that you say, "Lord, you see, you hear. Do something. Do something for your glory." Something that my life had maybe at one point had never seen and would never think to see. Lord, do something. Maybe like me, there is a time and have been times where your faith seems even smaller than a mustard seed, where Jesus talks about the faith the size of a mustard seed being able to move a mountain. And yet, friends, sometimes I feel that my own faith is smaller than a mustard seed, somewhat seemingly insignificant. A little while ago, I phoned my dad, and my dad has experience in management and church leadership and things like that. And so sometimes, if I'm facing a situation, I'll just give him a call and ask his opinion. And I was expecting a 3-point plan beginning with P, you know, the kind of good preacher kind of thing. And but actually, he just gave me one. "Have you prayed about it, Dave?" Now, I've got to be honest, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear something practical. Something, like, come on, let's do something. I want to hear some ideas about what I can do, what I can do right now to change a situation. And actually, it's prayer. Prayer is the thing that I need to do first. We've already heard about prayer as well being something that that it sounds like we are being called to. Maybe like Samuel, that it feels that there is a period of time where God seems silent. The day that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, it says in 1 Samuel. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Maybe there has been with us a sense that the word of the Lord has been rare, not heard so much. Friends, I urge us, let us go before God. Let us pray. Let us seek his face. Call upon him once more. Lord, see what is happening. Hear the prayers of your people. Move in mighty power for your glory. Lord, give us faith. Give us that gift of faith by your Holy Spirit. The faith that even perhaps starts like a mustard seed within us. Plant that mustard seed of faith within us. That mustard seed would grow, would become a mighty tree within us. A mighty symbol of faith. The first thing to note regarding Nehemiah was that there was this time of private prayer. This prayer that we have in verses 4 to 11 of chapter 1 is a private prayer. He has gone to a private place. He has prayed. He is seeking God earnestly, weeping, mourning, fasting for many days in order that God may move. And then he finds himself before the king, because that was part of his duties. As a cupbearer to the king, it was his responsibility to make sure that the king's cup was filled with wine. Now, even though Nehemiah says that he deliberately tried not to look sad, yet still King Artaxerxes can see something up. Something's wrong with Nehemiah. He notices something. Maybe it was a fake smile that perhaps some of us might do sometimes. It's a, how are you? All right, kind of thing. But there was something that King Artaxerxes saw about Nehemiah and asked him. Now notice what was his response. You see, it would have been very easy for Nehemiah just to go, nothing is wrong, my lord. Nothing is wrong, O king. Everything is okay. And that might have been the end of it. But notice what he did. He told the king what was going on. What was his concern? That he's thinking about Jerusalem. He's thinking about those walls that have been broken down. Now, this was actually a very risky thing for Nehemiah to do, because in the power of the king was life and death. We see this throughout other stories around the exile period, where the kings at that time could force people to do things. At the king's word, there would be war. At the king's word, a city could be destroyed. At the king's word, people could be put to death. When we think maybe about Nebuchadnezzar, it was at his word that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire. It was at the word of King Darius that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. It was at the word of King Ahasuerus that Queen Vashti was just put aside, and a new queen, Queen Esther, had to be installed. At the king's word, things happened. And there was a big risk with Nehemiah in saying, think about what has happened to Jerusalem, that King Artaxerxes could very easily have said, put that man to death. And yet what he did, Nehemiah had boldness. Boldness to know that God's power would work, that God's power would be demonstrated, that the glory of God would be worked out. Even if Nehemiah would be put to death, he still trusted that God would be glorified. Friends, may we be the same. Sometimes, and friends, I am here as well, there may have been an opportunity to tell people about Jesus, to talk to people about God, and yet fear steps in. It might not be the fear of being put to death, and yet there is still fear within us. Fear about what people might say. Fear about whether or not certain responsibilities might be taken away from us. The fear about how people might treat us, that we might lose friends over certain circumstances and situations. But friends, we must remember that our God is the God of heaven. He is above all. And so, friends, let us in confidence know that God is with us. And so when we proclaim the truth of God, it will go forth in mighty power. Amen. That we can have confidence that the glory of God will be demonstrated in our lives, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. The king at this point then says, what do you want me to do about it? What do you want me to do? And then this is the second thing that we have from Nehemiah, that there is a time of hidden prayer. There is a hidden prayer that he says. And this is in verse 4. And it's almost like a footnote in what we read. I prayed to the God of heaven. It's short, simple. It's not the same kind of prayer that he had in the private time. He's not able in front of King Artaxerxes to do the same thing, to weep and mourn and to throw himself prostrate and to cast his hands toward heaven. He's not able to call out, oh God, hear, see. He's not able to do that. Maybe it's a very short, simple prayer and just to say, Lord, help me to speak here. Help me to say the right words. Has there been a time like that in your life where someone has said, maybe they've asked you a question. Maybe they've wondered something. Well, why do you believe about Jesus then? Well, what does the Bible say about this situation then that we're finding ourselves in? Maybe there is an opportunity for all of us to say that short, simple prayer that might even just be in our head. The prayer that is simple that just says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And that might be all the words that you say. Three simple words. Lord, help me. Remember the prayer of the tax collector that Jesus told in that parable, where it is just simply, Lord, have mercy on me. That might be the prayer that is on our hearts. Lord, help me. And then in response, we can know that the Holy Spirit is speaking through us. Reading on, after what we have read, Nehemiah speaks to the king. And the king says, go and rebuild. Go and rebuild the city walls. Now, this again was something that was not expected. It might have been expected for the king to keep that city broken down, because a city that doesn't have walls, you don't have to worry about. It's not a fortress. It's on the edge of his empire, as it were. He doesn't have to worry about it trying to rise up and build its own kingdom when the walls are broken down. And yet, he said, go and rebuild. That must have been a surprise to Nehemiah. It certainly would have been a surprise to me if I was in that situation. And yet, Nehemiah was able to give glory to God through those situations. So the third thing that we find about Nehemiah is that he was willing to proclaim. He was willing to proclaim the goodness of God before King Artaxerxes and also before all who would listen. Later on in Nehemiah, we have the reading of the law, which hadn't been read in Jerusalem for many, many years. And yet they have the reading of the law. Friends, once again, let's be reminded that today's sermon, to give it a phrase, is from prayer to providence. We see three things: the private prayer, the hidden prayer, and the proclamation, the proclaiming of God's goodness. Friends, it might be that there are circumstances that we're going through. There may be difficulties that we know. We may see things that are happening around the world, and it is so easy for us simply to tut, to ignore, just to assume that, well, these are the way that things are. Friends, may we be moved with faith, the same faith that Nehemiah had planted within him, the faith that perhaps is the size of a mustard seed, sometimes feeling even smaller, that we go before God in prayer, maybe with times of weeping and mourning and fasting as well. We go before God and we say to him, see what is happening. Hear the prayer of your servants. Work in mighty power. Maybe then also there is time of the hidden prayer as well. That there is an opportunity for us to tell people about Jesus, for us to answer questions that people may have about circumstances we see around the world, about what the Bible says about such things. What does God even care about these things? Maybe then there is the time of the hidden prayer where we are able simply to say, Lord, help me. Help me to know what to say, what to do during this time. Sometimes it may not even have words, but there is a doing that God needs of us. Lord, help me. And then may we also have boldness to know that through the time of private prayer, through the time of hidden prayer, that there is also a proclamation, that God's mighty working power will be demonstrated, both in our lives, the circumstances that are around us, indeed, even in the world. The prayers, friends, that we have in our private and hidden times can have effect throughout the whole world. Remember that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayers of a righteous person accomplish much, not because of our clever words, but because of our God who is in heaven because of the Father's love for us. Sometimes we may not even know what to say. Let's be reminded what we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Friends, may the will of Almighty God be demonstrated in our lives for his glory. Just as we come to a close, I just want to give an opportunity once more, as I did at the start of today's sermon, for just to give an opportunity regarding your own salvation. Maybe you've been listening today and you've been hearing the story about Nehemiah. You've been seeing what has been happening in this place today through worship, through us glorifying the name of the Lord. Maybe you have been stirred within your own life thinking about your eternal salvation. Friends, I want to urge you, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do so today while the opportunity is presented to you. All day long, God says, I have held out my hand. Friends, God's reaching hand is out toward you. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, so that you will know the forgiveness of sins and you will know the Holy Spirit within your life as the guarantor of your faith, the guarantor of your salvation? And I want to just give an opportunity in this place today. If there is someone here who wants to say yes to following Jesus for the first time, would you please raise your hand so that I may pray for and with you? Is there anyone here today that would say yes to following Jesus for the first time? Praise God. And maybe there is someone watching at home today and you think, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I urge you to place a comment in the comment box. Go to the Neath Elim website and contact us so that we may pray for and with you and encourage you in your newfound faith. And friends, for the rest of us, it might be that there is also a circumstance that we have been moved to, even today, as we've been hearing the story of Nehemiah, maybe there has been a report that has come to us, returned to us recently, and we've been thinking, I need to pray into this situation. Friends, I urge you, let's go before the presence of Almighty God. Let us, with weeping and mourning and fasting for many days, if we need to, go before Almighty God and know that his power and his presence will be demonstrated in our lives, the circumstances of our lives, and indeed for the whole world, to his eternal glory.